Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Costas Inn, my longtime friends and sponsors. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, even though I'm eating a chicken Hito here. They'll call it a gyro over here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our good friends. We've given away some winning tickets, had a couple $5 winners here in the Show Me $10,000 contest. Our friends at Window Nation, where they've given me the visor, but I do look like I'm dealing cards in a shady place when I wear it, so I'm not wearing the visor right now, but I will be wearing it when I go to the Orioles game and see Shohei Ohtani this weekend. Our friends at Goodwill, putting jobs back together, and the Restaurant Association of Maryland. We had Marshall Weston here talking about Restaurant Week, and that's coming up in September. Between here and then, I'm going to be visiting, and it's probably good that I didn't get a crab cake like right now, but I'm going to get a crab cake before it's all over with, because I'm going to have 31 crab cakes in 31 days. And the one thing that happened last year, when I did 30 crab cakes in 30 days for my 30th anniversary last year on radio, and everywhere I went, my wife and I would see, like on Route 50, even going out west, brewery, pullover, RAR this, evolution that, all these things going on, the flying dogs on the way out. So all these things have happened. Hugh Sisson was an old friend of mine from Heavy Seas, one of the guys that put brewing on the map. And they've often said to me, they got a brewery in Dundalk now, right by the Royal Farms. You just pull down the road by the country club. And our friends at Key Brewing have stopped by at Costas to sort of kick things off. I'm going to come over to your tap room. I passed it. I honked the horn. I had my snowball from Icy Delights as I was coming by. But I have not been to your tap room because you guys had COVID issues. You had all this stuff going. I'm coming out and seeing all the breweries. Mike McDonald's here from Key. I don't drink IPAs as a rule. But as a habit, today I may change that habit. Cheers. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for making some delicious beer.
Cheers.
Dundalk Calling. I wore the Dundalk Calling gear last time. Todd Crandall brought it by. Today I brought Todd Crandall by. He's nervous. He's running for office. Tell me about Key, man. I mean, the Dundalk Calling thing is unbelievable because, you know, it's a great shirt for me to wear. But I know you're small and feisty, just like Dundalk, right?
Well, I can tell you that I don't normally drink IPAs either. So that it's on tap here at Costas, I felt it was appropriate that I would get it.
It's normally, really cold.
It is. It tastes delicious.
It's better than... I don't ever get IPAs because they're always a little bitter to me. You know, always. It's just not my profile.
Well,
but this
I mean,
is cold and delicious.
Times have definitely changed. IPAs aren't as bitter as they used to be. For me, you know, I'm a lager guy. So,
right.
You know, we have some fantastic lagers. They just don't happen to be on tap here at Costas right now. But this beer.
But if
is
I come
tasting,
over to the Key Room, I'm going to be able to do this.
Oh, you'll have your options.
I'm
going to
pick a
lagers.
Night. I'm going to pick a night during August. I'm doing 31 different breweries all over the state. I'm going to do a crab cake in a brewery. I feel like I'm going to have 31 really uniquely different experiences because every little brew pub, brew house, brewery.
They're all different.
They're all different. All different.
And it's crazy because I moved here in 97.
From where?
From New Hampshire.
My wife's from New Hampshire. Did we talk about this?
Whereabouts? I don't know. I don't think we did.
My wife is from Manchester.
That's where I lived, in Manchester.
Manchester?
I brewed in the Derry area.
North Derry or South Derry?
It's just a little south, so I guess it's... I was in the Derry area. I just like saying that.
Area.
Well, up there.
That's what they say. It's area.
My
mother-in-law says area.
I have not acquired the accent yet, but I moved down here in 97 to help open up Red Brick Station. Bill Blocker, the owner of Red Brick, White Marsh Brewing
Chris
Company.
Chris LaPointe. Nice.
He's in Massachusetts.
How's
now.
He doing?
He's doing great.
Still playing hockey?
I don't think he's playing hockey anymore.
But he loved hockey.
I think he's switched. He's golf now.
He and I
golf
always talk. Every hockey player becomes golfer.
Yeah, well, you get too old to take the hits anymore.
I want to reacquaint. If anybody knows Chris LaPointe from Red Brick, we talked about Billy Blocker the other day because Billy used to brew a root beer there.
I brewed a root beer there.
Your root beer kicked ass, dude. I can't believe it took me 30 years to find you. Your root beer. Chloe, don't talk about the root beer from Red Brick Station. We were talking about Bill Blocker. He's the root beer brewer.
I was the root beer brewer.
No offense to this IPA, but bring me some root beer, dog. You know what I mean? Spike it up. You do spike root beer for me?
I would love to do it. Actually, that's how I started doing a root beer was when I was in college. I was making a spiked
root beer. I want a grown. I want a sarsaparilla.
Yeah. Those
what I want.
Soda making days are over for me.
come on. Well, what are you doing? You're making Key. What do you do at Key? I ask you what you did, and you stumbled and stuttered like you're not really making the beer, but you used to. Give me the Key story. What's the Key story?
You know, the Key story is back in 2015, we started production, and I was the head brewer. I did all the work. I brewed the beer. I kegged the beer. I canned the beer.
Sampled the beer?
Of course I sampled the beer.
I'm going to eat my gyro here.
My doctor always asks, like, do you drink? And I was like, I own a brewery. What do you think?
I'm Acosta's talking about beer, eating a gyro. Life's good.
So,
Orioles haven't lost in a week.
So I started as the brewer there, the head brewer there. But, you know, it's really a young man's game. So, you know.
In what way? I mean, I've had some brewers. One of the things about beer, I mean, look, we all grew up drinking lager, Budweiser, Miller Coors, you know. They built my radio station. Thank you, Bob Footlick, Bob Pinkner, John Dow, George Acton, great people. There was one kind of beer. There was beer that looked like this and all tasted similar. And when I started seeing Billy Blocker brew beer over there in Hugh Sisson, it was always a little flat to me. It was always a little bit of a sharp taste, almost like eating venison. You know what I mean? It always had a little
bit of a little gaminess to it, right?
It did. Yeah. My understanding now, after spending some time with the folks over at Heavy Seas, I mean, there's a whole science to it, and it's literally, it's hard to screw it up if you know what you're doing to some degree, or am I wrong in saying that?
No, it's fairly easy to screw it up, but it is a science, and, you know, I don't have the science background. I always took brewing more like a chef, but, you know, everybody
says... You cook
the
taste, yeah.
Well, you have to know what your ingredients do, and that's the sense that I'm talking about. You have to know what each ingredient that you use does in order to make a good beer. So everybody's like, oh, you're a brewmaster. I'm like, no, I'm not a brewmaster because I don't have my degree. A brewmaster is literally a master's degree in brewing, and you can go as high as a PhD in brewing sciences. So I don't have any of that stuff. I apprenticed under a brewmaster long ago in the late 80s. So
I can't imagine my kid would have come to me and said, Dad, I want to be a scientist. What kind of scientist? I'm going to brew beer. If he would have said that to me at the turn of the century, I said, get a briefcase, come to the radio station, help me out. I would have said, you're a science of beer. We're going to school to learn how to be a beer brewer.
Listen,
who's going to drink your beer?
My son is going off to college in the fall, and I had him work with me at the brewery a couple of times. He's like, I don't want anything to do with this. I said, thank God you have that answer. He didn't like the work. It's really not a lot of fun. And that's my point, that it is a young man's game. And I know my son is young, but it's, you know, it's really heavy lifting. Sometimes some really bad smells, sometimes some tedium, and there's a lot of mechanics that go involved, you know.
It's not sexy.
Stuff
break. Brewing beer.
No, it's not. But I'll tell you what, when I was 21, 22 years old, it was super sexy. You know, going to a...
Well, you get a result. You get something that comes out of it that tastes delicious, that you affected it. You say, I made this beer, right? I mean, there's a little bit of that when you're young.
That is, well...
I felt that way by making radio. I used to just yell into the mic and be like, I'm making radio.
It even as
so
I'm
good.
Older, that end result makes it all worth it. Yeah, it's absolutely. That's the winning ticket for brewing. It's not easy work. You know,
beer's heavy, too. You have to pick it up. When you're done with it.
Beer is heavy. Everything that goes into beer to making the beer is heavy. I mean, a keg weighs about 165 pounds. And, you know, you got to throw these kegs around, move kegs around. It's no fun.
Tell me about your experience in making the beer and the journey of having a business. One thing, you make beer in a basement like a bootlegger and, you know, or making a little, you know, special drink that you make or something for the family or whatever. Industrializing it, kegging it, tapping it, delivering it, getting it across the street here to Costas into a keg and marketing it and having guys like me invite you on to talk about it. That dream of doing it to actually doing it, you're still doing it 7 years later. Give me a little Key update because, I mean, you guys have been through pandemics. You had partnerships. I think you had a partnership with Royal Farms at one point, right? Making a stout, I believe that was you.
We did, yeah. That unfortunately for us, on that, I mean, it was the beer was fantastic, but COVID kicked in, and it ended,
changed a lot of things.
Yeah, it ended pretty quickly, but it's taking it from the hobby stage, which is what I was doing in college, and moving on to the professional level it's certainly an interesting journey.
Well, radio was a hobby until the bank came with the loan for $1 million back in 98. Then all of a sudden it wasn't like a hobby anymore. So I've sat in I do radio, I do sports, hey, love me, hey, the Orioles, the Ravens. And then it's like, oh, the bank wants $9,000 the first of the month. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, employees want to be paid. Oh, the hops cost money. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Spoilage. Oh, you screwed that up. Oh, that cost money.
We got to dump that one.
We got to dump that one. So, I mean, I would think that the sexiness of I'm going to brew beer. If you would have told me you were doing a nasty lager or a Nestor lager, I'd have been like, oh, my face will be on it. Great. But if I had to come over there and brew it and carry it around and sell it, whole different deal. No doubt about that.
It is a whole different deal. And, you know, I did my radio days in college, so I didn't have to pay anybody.
What did you play? Were you like Dr. You got a little Dr. Johnny Fever in you.
No, I wouldn't say Dr. Johnny Fever.
Venus Flytrap? What were you more like that?
I had the 3 to 6 a.m. shift, and then I got bumped up to the 12 to 3. So it wasn't, it certainly wasn't glamorous, but I loved doing it.
What'd you play?
Basically alternative music. So we're talking late 80s, early 90s.
Little Pixies in there, a little REM, a little like that?
No, more like, Pavement, Swerve Driver, you know.
A little heavier.
Really, really indie stuff.
Okay.
At the time, and that was up in Rhode Island, but that's a whole nother story. This whole, making that change, took me a long time. I've been doing this for 29 years. So, going from an apprenticeship into a shift brewer into, volunteering at places to cleaning kegs to moving down here to help open up Red Brick Station and get Bill Blocker going.
And that was a crazy concept at the time, right? That you're going to have a brew pub in a brand new
district. I don't know if I call it
a
crazy concept. It was the perfect concept at the time. And, it's funny. I interviewed with him. The Avenue wasn't even built.
Right. I thought the Avenue was the dumbest idea ever. I thought, who's going to go outside when you can go into the mall?
And here you are 25 years later, and look at the place.
And look at the malls.
Yeah.
Right.
Malls are dead.
I'm aware. And no offense to Budweiser, Miller, and Coors, but they're dead too. To some degree.
I'm going to have to disagree
with that
one. These
crafts, well, they're different than they used to be. I mean, when I go into a liquor store, when I go into a bar, any bar, I see your taps, other taps, Monument this, Local this, Hazy this, IPA that, Citrus this, Ale that, Porter this, and that's in a bar. When I go into a liquor store, it's a whole wall of color and whites and ales and Allagashes and things from other places. And then, the Bush Light and the Bud's over there,
Well, like right. That. You got to turn left and you see that wall and you see what's moving in and out of there. And it's still those big industrial brewer's beers
I'll most. I'll drink a Coors Light when I'm at the bar if I'm having more than one. And I'll have if I want something really light. And other than that, most of the time, I'm trying something, and I'm not an IPA guy, and apparently people love IPAs. Like, I don't know what, most of the places I go into, there's 9 IPA taps, one little stout thing on the end, or pills, or a lager, that it feels like people must be drinking IPAs, and I must be the guy with the wrong palate.
No, well, I mean, IPAs, our number one selling beer is our Speed Wobbles, a session IPA. We hands down, it's almost close to double.
What does session
sales.
IPA mean?
It just means lower alcohol.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So,
okay.
Our Speed Wobbles is at a 4.7. Whereas
the
Dundalk that we're
drinking. You're having more than one.
Exactly.
Right.
But this Dundalk Calling that we're having, this is 8%.
So, Chloe, take this away. I can't have. I'm going to yoga later, man. I'm trying to get my.
Don't worry, you'll burn it all off of yoga.
Yeah, I'm trying to get right with my Planet Fitness people. Thank you for that. But
IPAs are definitely the number one selling style of beer within our region. when it comes to craft. I think when you, I feel like the Baltimore area or Maryland, not just Baltimore, I feel like we're a little behind in the trends because you're starting to see some of these really flavorful lagers that everybody is producing moving on the uptick. So
I was in Cologne 3 weeks ago.
Oh, Kolsch.
Man, I fell
best
in love.
Best beer style in the world.
I fell in love with one brewery 6 years ago. The man who saved my wife's life lives near Cologne, about an hour away, up north in
Fafkin?
Essen.
Is it Fafkin?
Fafkin, what? No, Essen. Essen,
oh,
Germany.
Essen, okay.
Witten, he lives in Witten. Essen, up in that area, above Dusseldorf. So we're in Cologne. We meet him there. Best schnitzel in the world is a place called Bay Uma Kleiman. And I had Kolsch there, and I didn't know anything about Cologne, right? We went in there for a couple days back in 2016, and they brought the little cups, and
Stanks.
What they're called?
Stanks.
Stank? Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. And they bring them in the little six packs.
The little trays,
right? So the first place we went, we had this schnitzel. It was outrageously delicious, and I liked the beer. I'm like, this beer's delicious. And I went downtown, and every single place serves a different beer.
They're all the same style, but
it's Kolsch.
But
they all taste different. It's like saying Bud Miller and Coors would taste. They don't taste the same.
No, they don't taste
like
the same.
Like your IPA having a key of Dog Calling doesn't taste like a session, right? It's different.
Very different, yeah.
Okay. So I fell in love with it, and when I went downtown, everywhere I went, I kept looking for this. It's called Sooner. They pronounce it Zuner. S-U-N-N-E-R, and the S has a little
I know exactly the beer that you're talking about, because I've been there.
Okay, so I loved it, and I said, when I go back, I'm going to find bars that serve that beer, because I want to drink that beer.
You're not going to find it here?
No, I found it there, though. Massachusetts had it online. I looked the other day, because my wife was up there. She's going to bring me some home. And it's considered a honey, like from a profile, honey flavored. That's what they said. The notes or whatever. So they had the brewery there, and I'm like, I'm going to the brewery. That's how much I liked it. So I went around everywhere I went for 2 days in Cologne. I drank Sooner beer, and the last stop was their brewery. It's an old church and an old factory. They had an outdoor courtyard serving schnitzel, serving stuff. And it was a wonderful experience. And I would think for any Bill Blocker, for any Hugh Sisson, who 30 years ago saw this and realized that they could bring this to Dundalk, right? That they could bring this environment of a brewery, of a brew pub, brewed on the, that is so German, right? Is it not?
Well, I mean, it's English, too. It's European altogether. But you know, you bring up Bill Blocker. I went to Köln with Bill, and we went to Dusseldorf as well. And, you know, Bill has always been that kind of guy that he loves these traditions. So, you know,
Do you wear a lederhosen or no? No.
No, I don't do the hosen. You've got to be in Bavaria if you're going to do the lederhosen.
I'm going to go to Oktoberfest some point. I'm going to do that.
I've been saying that for I don't know how many years, but it's
get it off your bucket list. Get it into your pictures.
The local brewery thing has really been European forever. You know, I did a trip with my wife to Scotland. No reservations, you know, just driving around. I was like, well, let's just go to this town. And that town had a brewery, and they made fantastic beers. And the same deal when we went to Germany. You know, almost every town had its own little brewery. And that didn't really start happening here in the States until, really, frankly, the 80s. You know, out on the West Coast, they started doing them. And it was the later 80s that it was really a thing that started happening here on the East Coast.
Gordon Biersch kind of thing, right?
Gordon Biersch.
Right?
Number one, they make great beers. But it's that whole, like, chain idea has died off a little bit.
Red Brick looked like that. Red Brick looked, you know, you walked in and you saw it. And that's what Hugh Sisson's place was, right?
Hugh Sisson's place wasn't like, I mean, Sisson's was, you know,
an alley.
Yeah, basically. I mean, Cross Street back in the day. And, you know, very unique. And thank heavens for Hugh Sisson and really getting it started in the state of Maryland.
He has promised me the wing recipe from they had the best wings. You know, they had these lemon, rosemary, buttery, crisped up beer. A beer was put on them.
You should just call him and get it.
He's going to give it to me. It's gonna, Mike McDonald's.
How
here.
Long have you been waiting for it?
25 years.
Okay. I don't think he's going to give it to you.
He's going to give it to me. He told me he was going to give it to me. Mike's here from Key Brewing. I'm drinking. This is a rare occasion, although you have opened my eyes that maybe I should. If I go into a brewery somewhere in the state and they're like, don't drink our Kolsch. Don't drink the IPA.
No.
And if I say I don't like the IPA, I don't like IPAs.
Then you drink the Kolsches. You drink the Helles. You drink the Vienna Lagers. Drink what you want to drink. Don't let anybody force you into anything.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Tell everybody how to find you a Key and find their way down and where you are. I'm going to find my way. You are going to be not my first stop because I'm going to be out on the west side. You might be my last stop on the thing just to make it fun, but I'm going to get back down here to your place. You have invited me over before when you were on the show. I want to come over, belly up to the bar, do it proper, and come visit with you. Tell everybody how they can visit with you.
It's great. Our location is 2500 Gray's Road in Dundalk, Maryland. If you're not super familiar with Dundalk, we're right near the Sparrows
Call
Point
me if
Country
you're not
Club.
Familiar with Dundalk. I'll bring you down here. I'll drag you down there.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning, though. We are 1.1 miles at the end of Gray's Road. A lot of people think they're in the wrong place.
Just keep driving.
Just keep driving. Make a right. We're the last building down there. Tap room is open Thursday through Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday. That's one of the issues with this tour, right? Is that I can't come see you Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So I'm
you
trying
can
to,
come see us.
No, I'm
Monday,
trying
Tuesday,
to do
Wednesday.
This legit, right? With and I know getting help and opening up, and a lot of places are small and humble, like WNST. So I want to make sure that you know I'm coming on the right day. So you are more of a weekend gig.
We are. It's Thursday. We open up for trivia and we close at like 10 o'clock Friday. We don't have a closing time, but we open up at 3 o'clock.
Can I win free beer if I do trivia the right way?
I think it's illegal to win free beer in this state, so no, wink, wink. I don't know what the prizes are for trivia. You feel good about yourself, maybe?
Well, I like being smart. I like when I get the right answers. I'll tell you what's going to be smart. Doing this tour, not only am I going to drink a lot of beer, gain a lot of weight, as well as respect for how to brew beer, right? Like, this is going to be, I'm going to learn a lot about brewing beer. I'm going to learn what I like.
I'm not sure how you're going to learn how to brew beer by coming to the brewery.
Yeah, I'm going to learn, I'm going to talk to people like you about, like, how it's done.
I don't think you're going to do that on a brewery tour.
You've
already
told me that it's thankless and it's difficult, and you've turned me off of being a brewer, so I should just be a guy who consumes it.
That's it. So
you're saying I've already figured it out.
You've definitely figured it out. I get people, you know, they come in and they talk to you and they're like, oh, I want to brew beer. It's like, really? It's a lot of work. You should just buy good beer.
All right. Pitch your beer as to why when it's brewed locally and what you put into whatever you're putting out, Helles, whatever it is, that it's your palate and you put a fun name on it and you do all that. What is the soup to nuts to doing that? To say, we're gonna put this line and we're going to do a pumpkin spice ale or whatever, right?
I hope we don't do that, but not
really.
You're
anti all that? You don't put fruit in your beer?
No, we do put some fruit in it. The pumpkin spice stuff, we don't do that.
You don't do seasonals in that way?
No, we do seasonals. I feel like that pumpkin spice thing got carried away a couple of years back. I mean, up at Red Brick, I used to make it all the time. But we do beers that have fruit in it. I personally don't drink those beers, but, you know, we're not in business to make beer that I like to drink because we'd probably be out of business.
Right.
So we try to appease as many palates as we possibly can.
And so what do you have on right now? How many do you have at any given time?
Well,
I think of you as a small place, but it's doing good things, right?
On at the tap room, we usually have 12 beers on tap that range everywhere from those, you know, the light-colored lagers. I'm not going to call them light lagers. You know, a light-colored lager to the, you know, a fruited sour to the IPAs to, you know, a hazy IPA. We try to have a dark beer on this time of year. We're not going to have a dark beer on because nobody's drinking a dark beer at this time of the year.
Except me.
I would drink one as well.
But dude, I'm a stout guy. I'm a stout
love stouts.
I'm a stout guy. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite by far. Porter probably be next in line.
Sure.
And it's so not the Coors Light, Busch Light, Schaefer Weekender that I, Old Milwaukee that I was as a kid.
I will tell you,
they brought me a Beck's Dark when I was 30 years old, and it looked and tasted like motor oil to me. Like, literally, I was like, ugh.
Now you like it.
Now I love it. Now it's my preferred method.
So I will tell you that I never drink light beer. So if I'm going to have one of the industrial lagers that people are making, it's always like a Bud Heavy.
Right.
Miller High Life kind of thing. Never.
I made a mistake the other day. I went into Chaucer and I ordered I ordered an Allagash or something like that. And
how was that a mistake? Allagash
it was
is
delicious.
Delicious.
They had a Miller High Life in the little pony bottles. And I'm like, I saw two other people drinking. I'm like, man, I haven't had me a Miller High Life in a long time, so I need to do that.
Especially in a pony bottle.
Little guys.
It's something special.
Man, it was a champagne of beers. I mean, it had that little foil on the top. Yeah. Made me feel like I was doing something. Kind of like I had a Michelob Light back in the day, or a Löwenbräu.
Michelob. That was the expensive
stuff. God, I drank too much beer before I was 21. I really did. It was terrible.
Didn't we all?
Mike McDonald here from Key Brewing. He brews up a whole bunch of stuff there right around the corner. Next time he's going to bring me a 4% so I can drive home and not have to walk home. But I appreciate you. The brewing community, Hugh and I talked about this at length. I'm going to be going to all of these breweries. If I said to you, give me 10 breweries to see in the state of Maryland, you'd throw them out, right?
I don't know. You drink beer. I do drink beer, but I don't go visit breweries, and I don't even know if I could name 10 anymore. When I moved down here in 97, there were 9.
Now there's 140.
I think it's closer to 200. But there's certainly great places. Monument City is fantastic.
Haven't been
Union
there.
Brewing
haven't
is fantastic.
There.
You haven't been to Union?
I haven't been to Key.
Oh, well, that makes sense. You haven't been to Union.
This is why I'm doing it. Last year, I went all over the state because I had never been to Antietam, never been to Rocky Gap, never been to Deep Creek, never been to Harriet Tubman, never been to Blackwater, never been to Crystal.
Blackwater's
awesome. Never been to Smith Island. I went to all those places last year. This year, I'm going to drink beer. That's why I'm going to go to breweries, and I'm going to check out new places and do new things.
You might want to get an elastic waistband if you're going to drink all that beer.
One a day, every day, just like my mother did. Look at how it turned out for her, man. She lived 98 years. She taught me the right way. I'll get over to visit with you guys. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the weekends. Stop by and see the folks. Go to the end of the road. It's a mile, 1.1 mile down there, and I'm going to come down and visit with you. Belly up to the bar.
Awesome.
So my best friend in growing up was a guy named Hells. We called him Hells. His name's John. And when the Hellas beer came out, that was sort of his nickname, and it was brewed in Dundalk. Man, just perfect.
We don't make that beer anymore. That was one of my favorites that we made. And we kind of carried it on in some other beers, changed some new names and changed it. It was kind of lost in sales because of we just called it a Hellas.
Right.
Like, we didn't try to come up with a clever name. This is the style that we're making. Call it Hells.
We call it Hells because he raised hell. You know, it's a Ray Hells, sure. His nickname.
I remember talking about this last time we got together. Yeah.
I shipped it off to him because he wanted to have it, and I made it happen for him. So,
it's a good friend.
There's only 5 of us that call him that. So, you know, he listens every day, so he knows.
All right. Cool.
The shirt's coming, Hells. Don't worry about it. Mike McDonald here from Key. We're Costas. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're talking beer, talking crab cakes, talking chicken gyros or hitos, depending. Our friends at Window Nation and Goodwill are sending us on the road. 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries, 31 days. I'm going to be with our friends at Key because I'm from around here. Even if you're not. I want to continue this New Hampshire conversation at some point.
Well, I only lived there for about 2 years. So
you didn't go to, like, high school there or whatever.
No,
you don't
no.
have any, like, accent about, like...
I grew up in New Jersey. I'm a Jersey boy, and, you know, I failed out of college after my first semester. My dad gave me 2 options. He said, you can live home, pay rent, and go to community college, or you can move somewhere, get a manual labor job. I'll pay you rent for 6 months, and then you're on your own.
And you wound up in radio?
I packed my bag. No, I ended up going to the University of Rhode Island, and I actually did some radio in high school, too. I would have to pay. I'd get sponsors. And it was like a small.
What I've been doing for 31 years, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. So
WPAL doesn't want me.
I had a girlfriend that was going to the University of Rhode Island. I was like, oh, I'll take some classes there. And I ended up doing a radio show. And it just happened to be like a great time for music in the late 80s. And ended up doing a show. I did news for 4 years, and I did music for 3 years.
Well, it's been fun having a real professional on.
Well,
you stayed on.
I never got paid, so I wasn't a professional.
Well, you're getting paid in love today.
There you go.
And I'll give a visit.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Key Brewing does it down here in Dundalk, as many breweries do it all over the state. I'm going to be learning about all of them. He thinks I'm going to learn nothing, and I'm just going to sit bellied up to the bar. I probably asked.
Well, you're
going to
learn that you love our beer.
I've drank half an IPA. When my wife finds out that I drank 8 ounces of IPA, she's...
You'll be sleeping in the guest room.
She's going to say it must have said Dundalk on it. Yeah, it's Dundalk Calling is what it is. Our friends at the Lottery and Goodwill and Window Nation and the Restaurant Association of Maryland sending us out on the road. So we're going to be around for the next week or two doing a lot of politics around here. You can find us at BaltimorePositive.com. Still catching up with friends of Tony Siragusa. I will drink to that. The Goose's last beer in Baltimore was here at Costas. So I want to say that. That's true.
That's impressive. Oh,
yeah, man, there's video of that. Him and his kids sitting right over there. So cheers to the Goose and to all we're doing around here. Big thanks to Ken for coming out. Pete as well. We're Costas. Come on down here. Have a crab cake. Get some crab imperial. Feel like royalty. We're back for more on WNST AM 1570. Stay with us. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive. Yeah.